You remember during this month, the last few sermons we have been studying about the prophet Malachi, right? Malachi. I just pronounce it in Spanish. In Spanish, when somebody says that you are like the prophet Malachi, don't take it as a compliment. That doesn't work that way, because the word can have like a double meaning right there. Okay, so in the book of Malachi, we discovered in the first chapter that the people of Israel, they were offering lambs and other offerings that they were imperfect, that they would have some issues. And they were doing that because they were greedy. They didn't want to spend the money to give it to God. In chapter 2 of the book of Malachi, they have an issue with divorce. People were getting divorced for any reason. They were abandoning their wives, their families, and the families that they get abandoned, they were suffering through poverty and social issues. So God is telling them, don't do that, you know, because in reality, I hate divorce. So in the chapter 3 of Book of Malachi, we have an issue that is related to worship. And what is the title of the sermon? Secret worship. So what the word secret entails, what is the meaning of that? If I tell you, let me tell you a secret, is that a secret? It's something that I don't want you to share with anyone else, right? But if you want to really keep a secret so you don't tell anyone, that remains a secret. It's only you. But the moment that you open your mouth and tell someone else, the secret kind of like, the chances are that it will be talked to other people. So what is worship? What is exactly worship? It's honoring God, right? It's a service. It's a moment of praise. It's a moment of gratitude. You offer worship when you come to church in many ways. When you are singing, right? You are connecting to through the divine, through the lyrics, through the music, through the songs. In the time of prayer, you are opening your heart, your mind to God and telling Him, Lord, this is how I feel. I'm in need of this. Please listen to my prayer. When you are reading the scripture, you are listening to God's voice. You are kind of like connecting with God. So worship entails many things. But the most important part of worship is your heart. Right? Because it doesn't matter how much you sing or how much you read or how much you pray. If your heart is not in the right place, then everything else is kind of like empty. It's like only like for showing up. Like it's only like a false pretension of worship. This morning when we were having Sabbath school with Russell here, we were talking about prayer. And Russell was mentioned today that it's two kinds of prayers, right? One that is from the lips and one that come from the heart. And I remember as a kid, the first prayer that I learned was the Lord's Prayer. And that's the only prayer I knew for many, many years. So every single time that somebody asked me to pray, Our Father that is in heaven, and then start repeating by memory the only prayer that I knew. But is that really prayer? Is something else that you can say to God? What do you think? And the answer is yes. So it's another issue when worship, and this is like a more personal issue. This is something between you and God. And I want you to pay attention to this, because this is not like an element of judgment. This is more like an element of awareness. I want you to be aware of this, because perhaps we can grow in this aspect, right? So let's do some reading here in Malachi chapter 3. This is verse 5. And the Bible is saying the following. The Lord all-powerful say, I am now on my way to judge you. So God is talking to the people of Israel, and He's saying, I'm getting close to you, and the reason that I'm getting close to you is because I have an issue against you, right? So He had been mentioned problems that they had through time. And I will quickly condemn all who practice witchcraft, or cheat in marriage, or tell lies in the court, or rob workers of their pay, or mistreat widows and orphans, or steal the property of foreigners, or refuse to respect me. So He's giving like a list of things that somehow God doesn't like, right? Like today, for instance, we will have people who tell lies in court, right? How's that called? It's perjury, it's a crime, right? You can get in trouble when you are doing that. I was talking to my son because a couple of weekends ago in South Carolina was the Democratic primary. and he wasn't here. And he was asking me, can you go and vote? I say, no, I'm not going today, sorry. And he go with some friends who live in North Carolina to a voting place. And he said, Dad, nobody was asking for ID. I can't enter there and put my vote for the person that I like. I say, no, don't do that, because that's a federal crime. You will get in big trouble if you do that. You are not registering there. They were thinking that you are trying to deceive the government, so just better stay away from that, right? Certain things you don't mess with. And so God is telling the people of Israel, yeah, we have some problems in the nation. People is cheating. People is lying. People is robbing the workers. Can you imagine if you work really hard for 1 week, and at the end of the week you are expecting your payment, and the boss say, we don't have the money. We won't pay you. How that will make you feel? You have family. You need to supply for them, right? Pay for your bills. So people depend on the salaries and the money. And they were happening, all of these things were happening in Israel. Now, keep in mind that this is people from Israel doing it to other people in Israel, right? They were connected. They were family. They know each other. So now, the following test, this is a very interesting test. Descendants of Jacob, I am the Lord all powerful, and I never change. That's why you haven't been wiped out or have been destroyed. So what is the reason that you are still here? What is the reason that I am still here? Why do you think? Because Pastor Ben is such a good person, right? You are an amazing human being. You deserve better, and that's why you are still here. God loves you more than anyone else. No, the honest answer is because God is loving and merciful and compassionate, and he doesn't take action right away. It's not like us. My niece sent me the other day this meme about patience. You know, the meme sent in the Facebook, she put it in there like, oh, patience is one of my great virtues. And then somebody asked, what? And I say, patient, are you deaf? Are you stupid? You know, like, you see the disconnection in there? It's not patient, right? We need to work in that. So I was telling my niece that that probably is kind of like a reflection of my character. In occasions, I lose my patience, my cool really, really quick. How about you? Are you a person who keep it down? You don't get angry for anything? Good. But if you had an issue with that, be grateful that God doesn't change, right? Because if God will take action right away, we will be destroyed. So God is talking to the people of Israel and saying, listen, despise all the sins that you are committing, all these terrible things that you are doing to each other. The reason that you have been destroyed is because I don't change. I continue being the same God, and I love you, and I want to prosper you. But we need to make some changes. We need to make some adjustments, right? So I like that picture of that kid in there. And the verse number 7 is bringing you this new idea. Even though you have ignored and disobeyed my laws ever since the time of your ancestors. In another Bible, it would say, even since the time of your parents. Now, when God sent Prophet Malachi to these people, this is the time when the people of Israel had returned from Babylon. Why they were in Babylon in the first place? What was the reason that God sent the people of Israel to Babylon? Do you remember? It was a punishment because they were bad. And as a nation, God would punish them, and he sent them to Babylon. Now, after they come back from Babylon, you will think, okay, they learned the lesson. They will be different. Now they will be kind. They will be loving. They will respect God's commandment, and they will be different people, right? And God is saying, no. Even from your parents, when you come back, you continue ignoring my laws. What laws he's talking about here? The Ten Commandments, right? And the other laws that is presented to them in the Old Testament. So, but if you return to me, this is God asking a question, right? If you want to be changed, if you want to be different, if you come back to me, I will come back to you. And I think that's an amazing way in how God is presenting this to the people. I want you to picture God talking to you and to me. If you return to me, it doesn't matter where you are, how far you are away from me, I will come back and I help you. And every single time that I encounter that, I say, yeah, that's great, right? And it's amazing that God doesn't change. He continues being the same forever. And that's a blessing. That's a promise in there. But this promise have a reason, and the reason is that God wants people to come back to him to change, to be different. But people is playing kind of like ignorant, right? Like, we don't understand what you're talking about. How we can return? What, we're supposed to be close to you, right? How do you ever deal with someone that has something done wrong to you, had made something bad to you, and this person or these people play dumb? How that made you feel? If you are talking to your spouse, let me use an example. Don't think this is my case, right? I don't get into that. We are perfect as a couple. We never had issues. But let's say that you are talking to your spouse and you do something that you aggravate, you offend your spouse, and your spouse had time after time mentioned, don't do this, don't do this. It's to give you a simple example, right? You use the toothpaste, please close the toothpaste. You know, how difficult is to do that? But you forget that, and then your wife gets irritated, and then she is talking to you, right? And you answer the question of, why are you angry? Right? I haven't done anything wrong. Like, what is the reason that you are offended? This is Israel. This is the people of God answering to God. Why? How we can return to you? We are always being obedient. We are always being faithful. So God is explaining to them, well, the reason that you need to come back to me is because you are robbing me. Now, how you can rob God? When was the last time that you encountered God to take money from God? Is that humanly possible? Stealing from God? Well, it is, in this sense. Let me read the text, right? You are robbing me, you're God, and here are you asking, how are we robbing you? Right? You are robbing me of the offerings of the 10% that belongs to me. That's why your whole nation is under a curse. So, have you wondered why in occasions things go really bad in your direction? It's kind of like you are under a bad luck kind of like situation. Have you ever wondered about that? You fix your car and then something happened in your house. You fix the problem in your house and then something happened to a member of the family. You take care of the member of the family. It's kind of like you are always going down. And you wonder why all the bad things happen to me. Well, in occasions, it's a reason for that, right? I'm not saying that that's your case. I'm saying that in occasions can be a reason for that. But God is confronting people here in a very private issue. How God knew about who was giving offering and tithes and all these things. How God knows that? He's paying attention to everybody, right? I don't have to tell you. It's an issue between you and God. And why people didn't return the 10%? They knew that God was expecting that, right? He requests the tithe from them. He explained to them that it was part of the covenant. They are part of God's people. And as being part of God's people, God will bless you and then you give back. By the way, when people return the 10% to God, that's not like an act of generosity. It's an act of faith, right? You are giving back to God what he already has given to you. Meaning, you don't need to give back to God anything if he doesn't bless you. If you don't get anything, well, cool. You don't have to worry about the 10% anymore. You are poor, completely broke. You don't have anything at all. So you don't have to give anything back to God. But if God bless you, he's expecting you to be what? Faithful and honest, right? When you are giving back the 10%, it's the way that you are demonstrating to God, I love you and I trust you and I know that you can provide to me again. During the 70s, many of the kids from Vietnam were brought here to the U.S., kids who were going through the war in Vietnam, and they were placed in American families. And one of the things that the parents noticed is that they were giving the kids food, you know, every day, the three meals that every person gets normally. And they noticed that the children, in a very discreet way, they were grabbing food and they were hiding the food. And, you know, people was wondering why you're doing that. And they start paying attention to that, and they discover that the kids brought their food into their rooms, and they hide the food. And the next day, when they come back to breakfast, they get more food, and they grab something else, and they bring it back into their room. Why do you think they were doing that? It's a reason for that. Psychologists had described that human beings have certain needs that they need to be met every day, right? You need a need of protection, you need a need of the house, you need a need of food. If you live in a place where your needs are not met, like for many years, you don't have enough food, what is your most common worry for the next day? Yeah. What if the food is gone and tomorrow is nothing else to eat? Ah, that's why I have a little stack in my room, right? It sounds silly because these families, they have plenty of food and the food is not going anywhere. But that's how kind of like we react with God. You know, God is blessing you and then he's asking you, you need to return the 10% to me. That's a part of the covenant that you and I, we have. And it's something between you and God. And you say, no, Lord, I'm afraid that maybe tomorrow I won't have a job. What if the economy of the whole country go down? What if we don't have any more money tomorrow? And I want to ask you, had God provide for you through all your life? Yeah. You can remember good and bad times, right? And it's always something that God helped you to get. So that was an issue of faith in here. They were receiving blessings from God, but they didn't want to give back the 10%. Why? Because we are selfish. We like our money. We don't want to depart from our resources. Now, in this society, people, they didn't use money, right? What they used at the time? They had animals. They had harvests. They had different things. So if God give you, let's say, 10 pieces of corn, you know how many of these pieces belong to God? When was the last time that you saw God eating corn? Or when was the last time that you saw God grabbing money to buy something? He doesn't need the money. So why he's asking for this? It's because it's an our issue. This is not a God issue, it's our issue, right? We are selfish by nature. We don't like to give up anything. If we can, we would like to retain 110% of everything, right? Because we are afraid that tomorrow God won't provide for us. So God continued talking to the people in Israel, and he said to them, listen, I am the Lord all-powerful. You don't need to be afraid of the coronavirus, or you don't need to be afraid that you will be laid off, or you don't need to be afraid of any scarcity that happened in the country, because I will provide for you. I am the powerful God, and I challenge you to put me to a test. So this is from God directly to us, right? I challenge you to believe in me, to trust me in this. And what is the test? Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse. So in Israel, at the temple, they had this big room when people brought whatever tithe that they have in there, either it was wheat or barley or fruits or whatever they have. They brought it to the temple. And that was used to pay the priests and to pay the expenses of the temple and to provide for many other services, right? And in our modern time today, you know, you come to church and do you notice that it's no calling here, right? You know why, right? Why is no calling here? Oh, because we have 4 units of air conditioning and heating working outside. And you know what? These guys consumes a lot of energy. But you know, thanks God that the people of this church is so faithful that we always have the resources to pay our electric bill and that we can provide for people electricity, air condition, facilities. All of these, in reality, you notice it costs money, right? And how we, the church, provide? Well, when we get all together and we combine our faith and we will give our resources, that's how we do it. So God is saying to the people of Israel, listen, if you bring all these things to me, I will open the windows. This traduction doesn't make fair to the text. The windows of heaven. And it will be like a flood of blessings after blessings. If you are a farmer and you are planting corn, let's say in the late summer, what is your biggest worry if you don't have irrigation? Water, very good. And how you get that water? Through rain. And how you get rain? We don't control that part. You can pray a lot, but at the end of the day, it's God the one who sent the rain, right? So you see what I'm trying to explain to you? If you are growing fruits, you need the rain. If you don't have the rain, your plants don't grow, you don't have anything to give, anything to eat, anything for next year. The idea of opening the windows of heaven, I want you to remember the story in Genesis chapter 7. What happened in Genesis chapter 7? Genesis chapter 6 is the story about how God called Noah and his family because he's sending a flood. Remember that? So in Genesis chapter 7, the Bible will tell you, well, God opened the windows of heaven and water started coming down, right? So what happened when God opened the windows? Water came down and more water and then more water. You know, last week, for how many days we had rain? It seems like every day of the week, right? Every day was raining and raining. But imagine, you know, raining like a lot for 40 days. Eventually, flood was covering the whole place. So that's the idea, opening the windows of heaven. It's more like the floodgates when you are visiting like a dam. You know that they had these floodgates because they had too much water. They need to release the water or the dam can be destroyed. It's kind of like the same idea. They are not like tiny windows that God will open in heaven. Oh, you are faithful to me. Let me send you this tiny blessing. No, he's saying, I will give you more than what you need. And excess, right? Let me ask you this question. It's just a simple illustration. A lot of you like to drink when your meals, right? And let's say that you are drinking a juice or something. If you are in charge of serving the cups of juice, how much do you fill the cup? Are you the person who give like half a cup, three quarters of the cup, or you just get to the border right there in the top? Let's say that you are the one who likes to be generous and you fill the cup to the last drop in the top, right? Tell me, how easy is it to walk with a cup like that? It is very challenging, right? Why? Because if you are not careful, you will be spilling juice everywhere, right? So it's kind of like the same idea. God is telling people of Israel, if you are faithful to me, I will bless you in such a way that it will be spills everywhere. You will have more than enough, right? Pay attention to this part. The reason why God is doing this. I will stop the locusts. You know, we don't worry about locusts or grasshoppers anymore because we don't, again, we are not like an agrarian society. We don't do a lot of planting and getting from the fields. But for them, it was a big deal. Actually, in Africa this year, they had this big plague of locusts that destroyed the crops of many nations in some parts of Africa that mean hunger for these nations because they don't have enough food for next year, right? So God is saying, I will stop the locusts from destroying your crops. I'm keeping your vineyards from producing. Everyone and every nation will talk about you and how you bless you and talk about how wonderful is your land. I, the Lord, are all powerful, have spoken this. So these flowers here are from Israel. You know, they grow right there in the roads and the streets, and they are wild. So what God is saying to the people of Israel, yes, this is a private matter. It's between the believer and God. But what God is saying, if you trust me, I will bless you. Now, this comes when it's a blessing, but it's also a big responsibility, right? What happens if you don't want to be part of this covenant with God? What is the counterpart? If you don't receive the blessing, what you will get? The curse. The problems. You know how it's interesting that in occasions we can be cheap with God, right? We're trying to do the least possible to help God, right? I will tell you that God had many interesting ways to teach us in how to be generous. But I would like to remind you today that the Lord continue being the same always. And for that reason, you continue being blessed. Your family is protected. You are healthy, right? Many good things come into life. That doesn't mean that your life is free of trouble, because we all go through trouble and problems. You will have challenges in life. It's impossible that you expect a life without problems. But even when you have problems, God's presence will be there with you. I want you to reflect in this text that is found in Hebrews 13:8. And I like this text because it's what Denise was reading at the beginning. Jesus Christ never changed, right? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So even when we make mistakes, even when we are being unfaithful, even when we are being dishonest, God give us another chance to make reparations, to make changes. So let me ask you this question. This is one I want you to take away home. If you haven't practiced about tithe and offerings, what you can do? Do you need to calculate all the things that you haven't paid back to God, and until you pay back, God won't bless you? I have a suggestion for you, you know. You need to live by grace. Just forget about the past. Just move on from the past, and today is a new day, right? But you can start today a new relationship with the Lord. Lord, I've been unfaithful to you. I haven't given you what you deserve. But from now on, I can make a covenant with you. If you bless me and you give me for my necessities, I will give you back what is yours. You would like to try that? Think about that. Do you like to challenge God? He's saying, if you prove me, if you want to test me in this, go ahead, do it. And I will prove to you that I will bless you more than what you deserve. So Jesus Christ continue being the same. He is the same 2,000 years ago. He's the same today, and he will be the same forever. And with that in mind, I want you to remember that God loved you, that he blessed you, and that he will continue prospering you. And may God give you the grace to make changes in your life if that's the case. Oh, help us all to be faithful in the different ways. Amen? Let's have a moment of prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, today we learn that you are an amazing God, that you continue blessing us despite when we are being unfaithful. Please forgive us and help us to give you the first place. Lord, we know that you will continue providing for us, no matter the circumstances surrounding us. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us and our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.